This is the FCB Radio Network. Real talk worldwide. Online at FCBRadio.com.
Necessary rough when I bust. Into your zones, microphones get crushed out. I break the sucker down with dust. I do what I must. Do what the rush.
Hola mi gente, hello my people, welcome back. You have just tapped into Necessary Roughness. This is Erica Rodriguez. I'm with Garbs and CJ. Garbs,
what up?
Let's start with you. How was your week, bud?
Spectacular. Overall, just spectacular. I'm happy the Browns won. You know what I mean? It was we got a W. It was definitely a must-win for them. So, but overall, you know, it's been a good week in sports. The tribe clinched the playoffs, you know what I mean? So, like, we good. We're good. We're good in the land. Somewhat.
I mean, my week was good. But guards, man, it was a must win to beat the Bengals. I mean,
it was.
The bar is low. The bar is low, brother. If that was a must win.
Well, some of us are celebrating a win this week.
Okay.
Hold on, guys. For those that don't know, we won. It was 30-35. Yes, the Browns won by 5 points.
Listen, sometimes, even though you don't win, per se, by points, in the department of effort, the right? Jacksonville Jaguars, they won. They won the moral game, all right? Last week. It was a hell of an effort to come back.
I'm sorry, Garbs. I got this one for you.
I appreciate it.
Garbs said the Jaguars are going to be the next Browns. So they just won. Don't be too harsh on the Browns now.
Whatever. All right.
I said they may be. Don't know yet. It's still too early to be.
But they won't be. That's the thing. They won't be. If you look at Don't look at whether or not they won last week, all right, as far as the Jaguars. Look at how they played the game. You know, they fought back. They almost won. I mean, just if the last interception hadn't happened, we probably would have went down the field and won. But I'm still proud of those guys. Once again, I have to point to the fact that we are still number one in fan experience. We even let the fans into the arena. I don't know if they're – in the pools yet, but we have pools. Do we have to go back to the pools and the cabanas?
Let's probably not hope that they open up the pools yet until this whole thing, till the Rona is dissipated.
Hey, guys, hold on. I can't. Hey, everybody, how you doing? This is Dario Kingpin Marl, executive producer of the show, producer extraordinaire. Doesn't CJ sound like a used car salesman right now?
Oh, yeah. Sunday. Sales spectacular. We got everything, every brand. Oh, yeah.
Why you sound like Mr. Allen when you
do that? I know, right? 2 for $15, 10 bucks.
2 for $15.
Hey, man. Hey, you hear that? Hey, Jacksonville, man, if you need somebody in the PR department, hey, look your boy up, all right? I got you.
It could work. But I tell you what, though, here's the thing. So you critique the Browns. I get it. I understand. Now, I do agree that it was the Bengals, so we can't be like, oh, wow, spec A's. But a win is still a win. Now, they did look good, however, and it did look like they were bringing things together. However, my one critique, they got to tighten up the defense. They got to tighten up the defense because at the end of the day, not every defense is going to be as easy, you know. And I don't want to say it like that, as easy, because anybody in the NFL is still – great players, spectacular players, you know, but at the end of the day, not every defense is going to be the Bengals. So they got to tighten up, because I don't see every single game them being able to score nonstop as they did, you know, this past week.
Yeah. And that game last week, it almost kind of turned into a shootout. I mean, Joe Burrow was moving them down the field.
Man.
So
he's going to be a problem.
He is. He is. Once he gets a little bit more time, a little more, another year in that offense, in that system, he's going to be someone to really look out for as an up-and-coming quarterback in this league. As far as the Bengals go, I mean, you hit it right on the head. They really do need to tighten up because putting faith in the offense right now as they are, I just don't see them being able to score that many points consecutively as the weeks continue, especially with the schedule that they have.
Right. Right. It's not going to be that simple. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm concerned about, you know, like that middle of the field area, like they, like both teams, the Ravens and the Bengals, like attacked that middle of the field right there. Every, like, if you watch and you go watch the footage, it's like, whoa, y'all need to tighten up. Y'all can't, because at the end of the day, is if even if they're just marching down the field with these super long drives, I think there was one drive that Joe Burrow had that was like, it was ridiculous. It was like, I can't remember the number, but it was a lot of plays. And granted, okay, it's 5 yards here, 6 yards there, 4 yards there. But if they're marching, that's all that the positive yardage, that's all that matters.
Right, and that's another thing, too. If teams are able to drive on your defense, that's a killer because not only does it exhaust your defense, but then it limits the opportunities your offense has to put points on the board. So then you're playing from behind in both aspects of offense and defense. Your defense is way too winded to even make plays, and your offense has no opportunity to even go out there and can't catch a rhythm to really catch fire and go down and score. So yeah, that's, it's something that I'm sure Cleveland Browns coaches should be really focusing on for this upcoming match this week.
Yep. I agree. But one thing I would say is that I did see the Jacksonville game. You guys had a close game as well.
We did, man. It was heartbreaking. Cause I'm sitting there watching that. I was actually up in Cleveland this past weekend for week two of the NFL season. And I was watching with some good friends of mine. And, man, we were watching the Jaguars just driving down the field. We were right there. I mean, they look good. I believe Gardner Minshew, he just may be the future. He just may be the future for Jacksonville football because you look at who we lost Fournette. We lost Ramsey. We lost Calais Campbell, but that was due more to cap space and things like that. And we lost our really good defensive end. The name escapes me right now. But, like, now the
team – he was so good you remembered his name.
You know what? Be quiet, all right? How about you stay in your corner, all right? All right. So now what I look – when I look at the Jaguars, I see a whole bunch of, you know, lower-tier players. And that's no disrespect, but they're a team. They are a team. They are one for all and all for one as far as what their goals are and where they're moving to. You know, so they now have got rid of the distractions in the locker room, and now they are rallying around Gardner Minshew. They're rallying around all their young guys, and they're starting to put some things together on the field that really looks promising, really looks good. And I think as the season progresses, they are going to get better. They're going to surprise some people and sneak up on some, too.
It's going to be some good football.
Before we go on break, so our game coming up, the Browns and Washington.
Washington football team.
Who do you think is going to win?
Go Browns.
Browns?
Go Browns.
CJ.
I think it's going to be a close game, I believe. But I'm going to say Browns. Go Browns.
Yeah, that's going to be a battle that I don't really care to see. I don't really care to see. I'm messing around.
Look,
the Browns have a lot of weapons, obviously on their side, and I would like to see them, one, continue to feed Nick Chubb, two, also you have Kareem Hunt. So get him more involved as well. And Odell, I feel like last game Odell got a couple passes, but can you keep Odell Beckham happy? Can you get the ball in his hands consistently? And until they're able to really do that, I don't know if they are must-see TV or not. Washington, we know what Washington is, all right? Washington is a team who is looking to find themselves. You know, their identity is not really set in stone yet. So it should be, I say it should be an easy win for Cleveland. They don't even have a name for themselves as far as the Washington football team. They don't know who they are.
Well,
so Cleveland should take this one pretty easily.
I think that they will. I think that, you know, with how things went this past week is, you know, they started using everybody more, you know, like I think Chubb and Hunt, I think they had like around 200 yards. It seemed like, you know, I don't know the exact stats, but I think that once they start really establishing the run game early, like, look, as we all know, is that once you start pounding it and you're actually making some positive yards with the run, that's going to do nothing but open it up for, you know, to be able to use Jarvis and, you know, Odell.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, too, is they have – Cleveland right now has the pieces. It's kind of like a kid in the sandbox. I mean, they have all these big, huge toys, these big mm-hmm. offensive weapons that they can move and put in different places. I mean, it's – Cleveland on paper is matchup nightmares for a lot of teams. So once they – I'd like to see them just really get creative with how they move people around – put people in different positions and mm-hmm. and use Baker, and you know he likes to be mobile and outside the pocket. Continue to move him out of the pocket so that he can make those big plays down the field.
So you guys, stay tuned. Hold on to your seats. Put your seat belts on. We have a special guest coming up for you guys. So we'll be right back.
Do you feel like everyone is yelling at each other, but no one is listening to each other or themselves? I'm Kira Davis, host of Just Listen to Yourself, a weekly exercise in critical thinking and drawing our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Because I believe when we take the time to examine our own talking points, we can realize we're not always saying what we think we're saying. Download Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Necessary Roughness.
Welcome back. This is Necessary Roughness. We have a special guest waiting for you guys. CJ, I'm tossing you the ball.
Hey, I'm going to alley-oop and slam that thing. We have one special, special, special guest in the building today. My friend, my former college teammate. You know what? He's just a teammate for life. My dog, Aaron Webster.
Y'all give doing? It up for him.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
How everybody
yeah.
doing?
You can't hear us, but we clapping right now, A-Web.
Okay, okay. I appreciate that.
Hey, so Aaron Webster, he spent some time in the NFL. He spent 6 months with the Texans, was signed with the Bears for a year, had a opportunity to work out in the CFL with the BC Lions, but he actually had an interesting I would say a change of heart in the transition, but we're going to get into that with him. So, Aaron, just for the people out there, give us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, how you ended up at Cincinnati with me, your boy. I know you looked up to me at Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that sounds good.
You know, Aaron was always very jealous of how I dressed.
This sounds so good.
Yeah, but yeah, just give us a little rundown on so, who you are.
Grew up, born and raised Detroit, Michigan. I end up when it was college time and me deciding where to go to school. I had about over 50 offers for football, only a couple for basketball, and I always knew I was like, honestly, it was a numbers game. I was like, if I'm able to pretty much make it football-wise, I know I have a great opportunity to play in the league just because of my physique, my size, my speed. And I knew with basketball, with my height, I mean, it's just, again, like I said, it was a numbers game. So I decided to choose the University of Cincinnati over University of Wisconsin. And from there, I mean, it was all she wrote. Mark D'Antoni recruited me, told me if I come in, I can play both ways. I can play football and basketball. I said, bet. I mean, that was the perfect situation. So came in, played my true freshman year, the December 12th, I want to say 2006, tore my ACL, MCL, kneecap shifted, pretty much tore every ligament in my left knee. So
I remember that.
So yeah, that was the rehab took about 6 to 8 months. But I mean, from that, I didn't play my whole sophomore year. They just sat me. And then I want to say about the third game of my junior year, they came up to me like, "You ready?" And I was like, "Yeah, I was ready last year." But yeah, they were like, "All right, well, you're about to start." And it was the Marshall game. And all she wrote after that, I mean, that kind of in place my legacy at UC from that game on. I believe our record, I didn't lose more than 3 games from my junior year to my senior year.
Right.
So yeah, and then my senior year, you know, we had that undefeated season during the regular season, back to back both. Like, it was just, I think I look back at it and I just say, you know what, choosing University of Cincinnati over Wisconsin was probably the best decision I ever made for myself, because not only did it help me, obviously, for my future, but also just looking at, like, for education, I chose Cincinnati because they had the best criminal justice program in the country. It was number one. So I was like, you know what, if I have this degree and also this football ability, I'll be able to use my body as equity for as long as I can. And when that runs out, I'll be able to use my brain forever. So I was like, awesome. This is the route. So, but yeah, I mean, that's just a little song.
Little tidbit. Yeah.
Tad. I go get in. I don't know how much time we got. I just wish I had that.
Yeah. So Aaron, man, you've reached a point in every athlete's life where you get to the highest level. You made it to the NFL. It doesn't matter how long you were there or, you know, how many teams you're with. You made it there and got to see what that was like. Just kind of explain what that was like. And then when you got to BC, explain, dive into a little bit, what made you kind of switch from football into what you're currently doing or what you were doing after you retired?
So I can say NFL as a job is probably one of the it's a very, very stressful job just because every single day you literally have somebody trying to take your job. So if you're not available, then that is almost just like it's a recipe for getting cut. So if you're not available, if you're not on, you've got to be in the playbook. I think every day it was stressful for me signing as an unrestricted free agent because I'm going in there already with a chip on my shoulder. Like, I got to outperform this dude that was either drafted, higher, has better numbers, whatever the case may be. And it's just it's a very, very stressful environment. I mean, some guys, I would say out of the 80 that come into camp, some guys, probably about 5, know they're going to make the team. I mean, the other 48, I mean, just trying to make that 53. So, it really is dog eat dog. I mean, luckily, it's in Houston. I got cool with some cats. And same thing in Chicago. It was a lot of love in Chicago. But, I mean, just the situation. If you're not headstrong and you're not ready for, you know, sudden change and being able to adjust, I mean, you got to – that playbook is no joke. I mean, people just think or look on TV like, oh, I don't know how they can mess this up again, paid all this money. That playbook is thick. I mean, and you have to know what you're doing. So, and it's checks literally on the second. So if you don't know your checks, if you're not communicating to your teammates, you're a liability. So just from that, playing in the league and then going from that to having a workout in the CFL, I literally told my agent, I'll do this workout, but I do not want to play. I don't want to play in Canada. Like, I don't. I feel like once I get there, it's almost going to be just like a – kind of like a rat race, and I never want to be involved in that. I never want to be – like, because I knew eventually, especially with me already tearing my knee my freshman year, that my body was only going to last for so long. And if I'm going to be bouncing around all these places, it's just like, I'm not a dumb guy. So I can use my brain to do whatever I want in life. And I just told him, I said, you know, I'm going to go out here. I'll do this workout, you know, but I'm not going to act like I'm better than anybody, but I don't want to play the CFL. And he said, okay, so what you want to do? And I told him, I said, I have a lot of ideas outside of football. And I treated football as a job. Football wasn't who I am. It was just something I did. And a lot of people can get that mixed up, especially when they play at the highest level, because it becomes their identity in a sense. Like they think just because they play football, or people think just because they play football, that's all they're able to do. They mm-hmm. don't really have any talents outside of that. So when they're not playing football, pretty much they're nothing, or they don't have a good enough education or just financial sense to do something better with their lives. And I never was that guy. So I told him, yeah, I might want to go to law school. I definitely want to be an entrepreneur. So, and he said, okay, well, I mean, you do the workout. I did it. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I was like, if they call you back, tell them I appreciate the offer, but he's going to go another route. And since then, I literally went from that to a couple months later working for the Ohio Attorney General's office.
Wow. Wow. And did you find out if they, in fact, called you back?
I did. Yes, they did call me back. Yeah.
Wow.
They did.
And you turned, yeah. See, a lot of people are probably thinking, man, he's crazy. He had a chance to go play. But it's not always what it's cracked up to be. As they say, the grass is not always green on the other side. That's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice that goes into playing at that level. So when you transitioned into the Ohio Attorney General's office, speak a little bit about how that transition, how did you work through that? Like how was there any difficulties or challenges you had to face there?
Oh, yeah, it was wild. I think just the stereotype just coming in, people looking at me like, how did he get this job? He's not qualified. And it's definitely, I ruffled a couple of feathers because a lot of people that have been here for years just didn't understand how I was able to get the job. And then, I mean, they weren't in HR, they didn't see my resume. When I was at UC, I graduated UC in 3 years. So I graduated early. And I graduated UC with a 3.6. So again, I'm not going in a situation where I'm not qualified, where they just handed me something because of a title. So it's transition from the NFL to the government. It was wild. I mean, every day it was just something new. And also it got to the point where I was like, I don't know if I could do this forever, because I just saw so much outside of what I was doing. I felt like it was just repetition, but like a small, but really I felt like I was part of the rat race and I did not want to be part of it. And to where I'm at now, I definitely made the right decision, but yeah, if I can go back, I would definitely say I probably would have left the AG's office earlier than I did.
Well, one thing that I have to, I want to definitely interject that I think that really is really important.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you made your choice to not go forward with the team.
Right.
It was your decision. So right. you had choices, and you knew you had choices and options and whatever you wanted to do. And I think that that's pretty dope right there. That's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of people, like I said, when it comes to football and it comes to just honestly the title, being able to play at the highest level, either in Canada or in the NFL. Like a lot of people just see the money, and like, the money is not everything. I mean, when you kind of figure that out, and like I figured out, like my brain will work. My brain is my strongest, like that's the strongest thing I can use every single day. That's my biggest muscle. Like I can, that was, I exercise my brain every single day. I mean, I don't exercise my body, but every single day I exercise my brain. I knew, like, I was going to get sick of using my body, you know, to hit dudes, move dudes. So, yeah, I was like, I want to get in a place where I can use my brain every day like I'm already doing and not having to, you know, bang my body every day, like literally tear ligaments all in my body. I mean, I was like, yeah, I do that. Now I want to go through that again.
Stay tuned for the rest of our interview. We'll be right back.
Did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts today.
This is Necessary Roughness.
Welcome back. Let's get right back into our interview.
And talk a little bit about that, too. Talk a little bit about the wear and tear that it puts on your body. Because obviously, I think people think about football. We just look at it from the I want to be entertained perspective. Yeah. But talk a little bit about the wear and tear that it puts on your body and the things that football players go through.
It's almost a gladiator sport. So you have to think about, I remember waking up 6 a.m, could not move, body stiff. I mean, and I had to go practice in 2 hours. And before practice, we lift weights. So pretty much warm up your muscles. I mean, and I was almost an everyday thing until it got to the point where if I'm injured and I'm starting, I have to take certain medicine. I got to take certain shots just to play. And when that's done, after the game is done, go right into the training room. It's almost just like do it all over again. Get ready for next week. And like literally, it was weeks, just like couldn't walk. Like not really waking up like how am I going to class? Like, and I honestly just had to be in the fear that comes with thinking all that. Honestly, it kind of either you crumble or you just overcome it. And every time I was like, I mean, this is how I'm in college right now because of my body. So I got to make it work. Whatever I have to do to get to class, whatever I got to do to get through practice, whatever I got to do to get through training, whatever I got to do to stay up during these meetings, I mean, I'm going to have to do it. So, but yeah, the wear and tear in your body, like I said, I tore the ligaments in my knee, but I mean, it's other injuries that I've had and I should have probably got surgery. I didn't. I know I fractured my wrist. Played with it literally a cast, but shoulders, especially being a safety, hitting people, coming down 20 yards full speed, trying to hit a running back coming at me full speed. Like that's, I mean, literally a car crash, and I had a lot of them. So from concussions, it's just a lot of people understand it is a gladiator sport, but it. I mean, from what people have to, like, for me, what I had to go through day in, day out, without nobody really even knowing. Like, there's people, a lot of people, especially in college, that are walking around hurting, either from, like I said, concussion, ligaments, torn, and they just have the mind state of, I have to make it work. Like, whatever I got to do, whatever shots I got to get, whatever I have to do, whatever you have to sign off on, whatever I have to do to make it, I'm going to do it.
This kind of brings up a point, you know, from my perspective and opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how the other folks feel, but me, I am a believer that the college players, college athletes should actually have some sort of income based off of the risk that they put themselves in to go out there weekly in the games and, you know, the strain that they actually put on their bodies, because whether they make it to the NFL or not, true, that can affect them even further, you know, in life.
And I don't know, CJ, I really don't know if people know this. Like, as, I mean, when I was in, and also you, CJ, when we were in college, like we do, isn't that necessarily a income, but we do get per diem in regards to like a little stipend after games, or we did receive some portion. It's all players too. It didn't matter what position, what status you were, everybody received a per diem. So yeah, in the sense of that, that does happen. It's not a lot of money. It's probably, I want to, CJ, if you can remember, it's probably between $20 to $100 each player. But yeah, yeah, but you, we all receive that. So yeah, you saying that.
Comparably, $20 to $100 for the amount of income that football generates to the school is pennies.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah,
pennies. Right.
Yes, exactly. And that's, and I have that same argument. I say, well, shoot, if you guys are going to be able, if you guys can give us this, why can't you up it? What regular? Right. So yeah, it's definitely,
especially if you have a successful season. You all had successful seasons, so exactly, fans are packing into the stands every week,
making more money for this university. Correct. So yeah, I agree. I'm in the same boat with you. I don't, like I said, for somebody to receive some type of compensation, but not like you said, pennies for that not to be a discussion, to be like, okay, well, they already received something. Why can't they receive more? So, yeah, I agree.
I know I saw a lot of 17 jerseys in the stands at UC, and I'm sure if you had been able to continue with the Bears and in the NFL, there would have probably been a lot more in those stadiums. But So you left the Ohio Attorney General's office, and now you are into, I want to say, like real estate. So what triggered you to move in that direction?
I wanted to be my own boss. I felt like my whole life I've been answering to people, whether that be football or just an employer. And I didn't want to answer to anybody anymore. I wanted to be able to move how I wanted to. And I think I just started realizing the importance of time and making my time my own and doing whatever I wanted to do with my time, and no one telling me what I have to do, when I have to do it, what time I have to be somewhere, I wanted to control all of that. So I said to myself, in order to do that, I have to be my own boss. So that's when I left the AG's office.
Right.
And I got into real estate. I purchased my first property in downtown Ohio. And I never, when I purchased it, honestly, when I purchased it, I was just like, you know what? I could probably live here for X amount of years. I'm comfortable. And then it just kind of, I don't know what type of epiphany hit me. I was like, I can probably rent this out and then maybe get another place. It literally, I was just, I just put into it to the other, like, okay, then I could probably do that again and then again, because I was just thinking, like, I have great credit. So I can use the leverage. And then I would just talk, literally, that's when I started reading books. And I the first book I read was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I was like, so you trying to tell me this guy, because he talked a lot in that book, he talked a lot about real estate. And I'm like, you trying to tell me I can just open up my own LLC, be a sole proprietor, and then when I file my taxes, just file it under my LLC, and then instead of, I can write off expenses for my business, and I'll pay my taxes less. This is crazy. Why did I not get any of this taught in school? So I read that book. And then I read $40 Million Slave. And when I read that, I was like, wow, like that really is, it was really realistic. So reading those two books, I was like, okay, I can do this. Like I'll just have to leverage my risk. And if I can do that, I'll be fine. And I had a little bit of capital. So honestly, all of those came together and I was like, yeah, I'm about to give me another spot. And I rented my place out. Literally, I lived with somebody for about a month while I'm trying to find another place. And it worked out. I was able to find another place. I got that place rented out for a year. And from that place, did the same thing.
It just kept going.
Honestly, that first place downtown, that was like the formula. And I was like, okay, how did I do this first time? Okay, this is what I did. Okay. And then this how long I wait up. Cool. Okay. So literally I was just like, all right, well, I'm this person's paying the mortgage and also paying me something. And if I'm able to get another crib, I just got to make sure I can cover the down payment. As long as I can get that down payment taken care of, I can get somebody, I can rent this out ASAP.
And that obviously grew into properties in Mexico, Michigan, Florida, LA, and New York. But if people want to learn more about your journey and then more about real estate, tell them how they can follow you on Instagram, Facebook, and all that stuff.
This sounds crazy because I don't have any social media. Only people that can contact me that have my personal number. I like to keep a very, very small circle. I don't like to give information. I don't like to give spam to people that I don't know. So, I'm going to keep my circle very, very small. So no social media, unfortunately. But, like, you got my number, CJ. You know, if you got any of your boys want to hit me up.
there you have it.
CJ's the plug. They got to contact CJ.
CJ
there
is
we
the
go.
Plug right now.
Yeah. All right.
Well, all right. Aaron, thanks so much, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate y'all.
We'll be right back, you guys. Necessary Roughness.
Yo, it's your man. It's your best friend, David. Check out my new single, Looking for Love, available right now on all platforms. Peace.
This is Necessary Roughness.
Welcome back, you guys. Welcome back. So listen up. We have a special guest today. Dario, you there, bud?
Yeah, I'm here. So I guess apparently Garbs invited someone else to come on the show as a special guest. I don't know who this person is. I guess they're not there. Garbs are when are they getting here?
Oh, he should be here soon, man. I don't know what I mean, I told him the time, and you know, sometimes these famous people, man, they just try to be on their own schedule though.
Now, are you sure this is gonna be okay? Cause the guy seems kind of peculiar.
Oh, he's definitely peculiar. I don't. He's an interesting feller. He's an interesting feller.
Really?
So, who, CJ, who, do you know who this guest is? Because I don't know who the guest is either.
I have
think
no
he
clue.
Kept us all in the
yeah, I was about to ask to be cleared this with you or anybody else or with Erica, but I have no clue who he's talking about right now.
Well, all you right. guys, so, yeah, so you guys I'll are just... going to be stunned because this is a great guest, CJ.
Oh, so you,
God,
so you
were telling me a little bit about it.
I told her, okay, I'm just gonna announce it. I'll just tell you, just flat out. We coming to the show to Necessary Roughness for his first interview. We have Andy Reid's face shield.
What?
How did you book this guy, man? This is top notch.
I know
talent.
People, man. I know people, man. What do you know? I know people.
All right, so I guess we just gotta wait.
I guess.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I hear him. You guys hear him? That's our guest. You guys, you hear him? You guys, audience, everybody, people, I guess I've arrived. He's arrived. Remember, if you haven't heard it nowhere else, you heard it here first.
Talk about some football.
Man. All right, why don't you let everybody know first who you are again? Explain to people who you are.
I'm the Shieldmeister. What do you mean I have to explain where I am? I'm the Shieldmeister. You know me. What are you talking about?
Wow.
You asked me on this show. I didn't ask to come on here.
Mr. Shield or Mr. Face?
Shieldmeister.
Shieldmeister. Okay, we'll go with that. Okay, Mr. Shieldmeister. So how is it being in such proximity to the great head coach, Andy Reid, I mean, what are his plays called? What does he actually say behind that play calling sheet? And you, apparently,
You know, this, he's a great coach, but this guy's always working. So by the criteria of my job, I'm always working too. It's not what I signed up for because, you know, maybe I'll get some luck and luck out and they'll trade me over to Johnsonville or Jacksonville, whatever, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean, what am I going to do, man? I mean, think about it, man. I mean, I'm a face shield. What do you mean? What are we going to do when the weather changes? Huh? You tell me. I mean, plastic dude grows icebergs on chin. That's not a good headline for the radio.
I can see why he's so grumpy. Jeez.
Right. Somebody's going to have to sponsor me with some de-ice or with some rock salt or something. Or I'm going to freeze my glass off.
So, Mr. Shield, Sir Shield, now,
I mean, there's got to be some type of cooling system for a guy like me. I mean, some type of air chamber or something. I mean, I need an HVAC guy or even, you know, one of those guys from the plane that sprays the stuff on before flight for the old Shieldmeister.
Oh, God.
Which one of you can help me out? I mean, come on now.
Oh, Lord. Hold on real quick, because you said earlier that Andy Reid is always working, which means you're always working.
He's a great coach. He's awesome.
He doesn't take it off.
So sometimes. No days off. Wow.
He doesn't take the shield off at all. He doesn't give you a break ever.
So
when he sleeps, but what am I not gonna do? And then, you know, I don't know. It's it can be a mess sometimes. I'm just worried about the weather because I don't want icicles. It makes me look horrible. It makes me look 10 times heavier. I don't know.
10 times. I'm sure that's a very big problem for a face shield such as yourself.
You got one more question for him, CJ. We got to.
I was going to ask, since he's so close to Andy Reid's mouth area, what toothpaste does he use? Crest? I think he's a Colgate man myself.
You're right about that, my friend. I don't know how long I could do this. I'm thinking about retiring early and starting my rap career. I don't know.
You can't leave Andy. You two are tied together.
I don't have a lot of time. No time. We got a game to play, and Mr. Andrew over here just had lunch. Prime rib. Bet I get a face full of that real soon. Oh my gosh, right, I'm gonna need a windshield wiper or something. I don't know.
All right, Mr. Shield. We gotta go. We have something else we have to do in this segment. So thank you.
Me too.
Thank you for spending time with us.
All right, you guys. It's the time that you all have been waiting for.
Hold on. You gotta give us like 3 seconds to recover from that. Garbs.
How did you?
That was priceless.
Man, that dude, man.
Whew. Wow. You said a rap career?
He said he's got a rap career. I don't know. I don't know if I want to hear it.
Career?
He's retiring, CJ, to a rap career.
He said he got a mixtape or something.
What is it called? Face the Glass or something like that?
He's going to turn to icicles.
Yeah, I know, man. I don't know. This guy's on a whole different level. We may want to have him back in the future.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Maybe in the wintertime because it's gonna be cold back then. See how much weight he puts on.
He didn't sound too happy about that. I don't know if we want to.
Not at all.
He was concerned. He had literal concern in his voice and worry.
Guards, you might need to tell his team to go check his blood pressure because it's got to be through the roof.
It's got to be. There's no other option. That guy's on a whole different level.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Erica, go ahead and continue what you were. Go ahead with your introduction, please.
All righty. All right, you guys, it's been a time.
Now you sound like Andy Reid. I know. Listen, it's
contagious.
I didn't know you. Oh my God. Y'all meet on the gram?
You saw, oh, Erica, did you slide in his DM? Did you
it slide was the, in the, it was TikTok. TikTok.
TikTok.
No, they, that's all no, they met on, they met on Christian Mingle.
I got to come up with a name for that one, though.
Okay, continue, Erica. Continue. We okay. got 4 minutes left.
All right. All right, you guys. This is the time that you guys have been waiting for. Let's take it to church. Bring it to church. Take him to church. CJ.
All right. Amen, amen, amen. And all praises to the big man up above. I am the Honorable Reverend Dr. I'll Be Good, and I welcome you once again into the sanctuary here at St. Vincent and Mary's, Ben and Jerry's, Episcopalian, Hands of Mercy, Eyes on Calvary, down by the riverside, Good Samaritan, Boys and Girls Club of Greater Cleveland, Lutheran Baptist Church of God and Grace, Incorporated. Well. Now, I know that some of you may have noticed that the name and location of our beloved church has changed. Well, church, there is a good reason for that, amen. As you may have heard, former sister of the church, Sister Letitia Jenkins, was injured in a terrible accident during Bible study last week, which is in no way fault of the church, when an unforeseen termite infestation infiltrated the sanctuary, ruined the structural integrity of our beloved pews, and long story short, Sister Jenkins sat down, pews gave out, and her hip is broken in 14 different places. And she promptly has sued the church and yours truly for her medical bills and pain and suffering. Now, we have sent her a get well soon edible arrangement in our most heartfelt of prayers. Amen. As to not have any interruptions during service by court-ordered officials or authorities, we have changed names and location. As they say, as the Spirit moves, so doth the church. Amen. Now, speaking of movements, I do believe it's time for the Atlanta Falcons to move on up to the altar. So I may lay hands on thee, unlike their players did on the football during that onside kick in last Sunday's game. Now, in what was one of the biggest debacles of Sunday's slate of games, history has repeated itself. After the Falcons once again blew a 20-point lead to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Church, I almost lost my faith Sunday as a slew of expletives came rushing forth out of my mouth like a Black Friday shopping crowd bursting into a Walmart for toilet paper at the beginning of COVID. Now, as most of you know, the Falcons did the same thing in Super Bowl 51 against the Tom Brady-led Patriots team back in 2017. This amazing feat of literally giving the game away reminded me of a song. Now, church, if you will, turn in your hymnals to page 20, where we find a short verse in a song by the Apostle Jermaine Dupri, if you'll sing along with me. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. And the coaches blow 20-point leads like every single day. Close your books, church. Close your books. I can't read anymore. I can't sing anymore of that. Now, there is one person. Matt Ryan, brother, raise your head, son. I hear that your nickname is Matty Ice. Well, your defense and your special team coaches' nicknames should be Luke and Warm, because if they could not, for the life of them, light a fire underneath the rear ends of the defense and the special teams to get a timely stop and the special teams unit to be alert for an obvious onside kick. I mean, I don't know what you have to do to get them ready to play a game. Now, see, I bet if I put an L on the ground and I kick it and spin it real fast, they'll jump all over that thing. Now, yes, Lord. Yeah, be with them, church, now. We must pray for the Atlanta Falcons. See, now, for the second week in a row, they head home with an L. And this song to keep them company. I think you heard of it before. It was sung by a man named Ray Charles, but we're going to remix that a little bit. We're going to hit them with the new international version. It's called Atlanta. Atlanta, blowing leads just ain't cool. Atlanta, Now the L in your name stands for lose. Amen, church. Amen. Atlanta Falcons, you have officially been taken to church. Deacon Garbs, Deaconess Erica, please close and lock the sanctuary doors as we pass around the collection plates for these, for the tithes and offerings for my upcoming litigation battle with Sister Letitia. I'll see you in court, sister. Now, everybody, remember, church, no matter how crazy the world gets, you never have to worry about me, because I'll be good. Amen and praise the Lord. Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Spectacular.
Oh, wow.
What a, another great one.
That's a good amazing sermon right there.
That was amazing.
Oh, I'm going to reach down deep in my pockets for that time. I got to help the good doctor, Reverend Doctor out. Darby, I know you just got paid, Darby. Go ahead and sprinkle him with a little blessing.
Sprinkle him.
Sprinkle him with a little blessing.
He said reach down deep.
Reach down deep in your pocket.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, this has been probably one of the most ridiculous segments I have ever been a part of in my 10-plus year career.
And it's only going to get better.
It only goes up from here, buddy.
All right. Erica, we do want to send a special shout out to someone that we lost real quick before you take us home. Is that correct?
Yes. All right, you guys, before we close out, I want to send a special shout out to an amazing legend in NFL. Rest in peace to Gale Sayers, Chicago Bears Hall of Fame running back. Rest in peace. Much love to his family. Much love to everybody around him that knew him. All right. Garbs, CJ, last thoughts, last words. Tell the people where they can reach you at, where they can follow you at. Go for it.
You can follow me at Garbs Infinite everywhere, G-A-R-B-S Infinite. And that's pretty much it. Great show.
CJ.
Yes ma'am. Definitely want to send the prayers and positive thoughts to the Sayers family. I'm sure this is a difficult time. Definitely a great legend in Chicago football and in NFL history. So many thoughts and prayers and my condolences to them. If you want to get in contact with me, follow me, Facebook, CJ Cobb, and Instagram, Twitter, at KingCobb70. It never changes.
And once again, I'm Erica Rodriguez, and you've been listening to Necessary Roughness. Come back. Much love. Till later.
Come back.
Distributed by FCB Radio Network.